This sound was recorded on June the 8th, 1963, medium lesson French. Don't know anything about baby Daniels, no. I suppose she must be getting on all right.
She did go to hospital.
Yeah, oh yeah, she was taken very ill, wasn't she? Near death's door a week ago. Oh, the film.
Mm.
What was it like?
Magnificent.
Is it? Does help tremendously. It's beautiful. But my remembrance of Beaucaire, even the copy I saw at the National Film Theatre, which was in black and white, was absolutely beautiful. But when it was done in its sepia tones, as it was, and the night scenes in sort of bluey tint, it was very beautiful. It somehow didn't, in a way, lose, because it hadn't got colour.
Probably not. See, one thing that distracted me just a little bit, and that was the makeup. The makeup was very, very vivid in some parts, and I suppose it did look a little artificial. You never thought of it as anything else but a theatrical set all the way through. Because it was filmed from the stage, you know. It's a film and not a stage performance.
Was the music sound good?
Very good. Well, one thing that I missed, I didn't really realise until about halfway through, and there's something missing from this that I can't quite place. I don't know what it is. Then I suddenly realised it was the tenor. There's no tenor in it, and I love the tenor voice. See, the principal male part is played by a woman. So really, you've got two women's voices all the way through, instead of the balance of the tenor and the female. Have you ever seen it?
Seen it on the stage, yeah. I'm not overstruck with it, strangely enough. I remember donkey's years ago, before I was 20, I saw an album of the records, De Rose and Cavalier. They were sort of featuring it, and they had some cutouts and Beaucaire costume, you know, and I thought, oh dear, I'd love to see that one day. And I don't know why, but I thought it was a sort of Beaucaire thing. And then when I actually saw it, admittedly the sets, the costumes were quite nice, but there was a lot of mad business in it, I thought, and the music was all in Wolf's time, which was nothing to do with the 18th century. I think I was so disappointed, you know. And I thought the story was daft, you know. This girl dressed up as a boy. I thought she was supposed to be the girl dressed up as a boy. I've only in recent years realised it's supposed to be the man. It all seems a bloody daft to me, you see.
Well, it was really.
And then there was some mad business in the second act, I think, with people popping in and out of trap doors or something.
That's right.
And I thought, oh my goodness, it's like a pantomime. You know?
Well, it was a cross between a pantomime and an opera, really.
No.
A farce in it.
I thought it was going to be the most beautiful, romantic thing, you know. I don't know, I suppose I had a sort of feeling it was going to be a musical operetta, Beaucaire, and it was nothing of that, you see, so I was disappointed.
Well, looking back to me, it had a lot of the Gilbert and Sullivan thing, you see, a lot of the fun in it.
And
how are you?
Well, I'm All right, dear.
Nice to see you.
Yes.
Have you had a nice holiday?
Yes, I had a lovely week's holiday.
Went out and about?
Yes.
You had a good weather, didn't you?
Lovely, glorious. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You won't be going up to Blackpool then, will you?
Oh, no.
Aha! See, you're going to Italy again.
That's right.
I don't know how you manage it.
Well, I don't know what I'm worried about is what I'm going to manage when I get back.
You'll be helped.
Yes, dear. I'm not really worrying about it because...
Oh, of course you will be helped.
Thank you, love.
Can you remember any time when in some way or other you have not been helped?
No, I can't.
I admit that you have had some very difficult times, but always somebody or something has happened.
Yes.
And it applies not only to you, it applies to Leslie, it applies to many other people, because the power of the Spirit, the intervention of the Spirit is tremendous, because we who come back from this side to help, we consider everybody in every way that we can, and if it is in our power, as it is sometimes, to do things, we may not always be able to do dramatic things, but we do what we can, you know, and as you are going to Italy, so you will be helped, and the money will be found, and you won't have the headaches.
Thank you.
You don't want to worry. It is good for you to go. It is good for you to have the break and the change from the office routine, and it is good for you to go with Momo. And also to see his people, and you will enjoy it very much indeed. It will be a very happy time for you, and you won't lack for anything. You will see, and I want you to go, because I think it is, in more ways than many, one, very good that you should go.
I think it will help Bruno. I can't find really the reason why he wants me to go, because he's come back as and forth two or three times on his own, so he can't be back.
Yes, but he has never come back and forth by train and boat. For that matter, neither have you. You will be helped. Don't worry. But you may not go by boat and train. It is possible you will still go by plane.
And I'd far rather go by.
We shall see.
Only to the first stop in Italy. Even the first airport in Italy would help. If we get over, do away with the Channel crossing and the trip across France.
Well, but if you are going to do that, you might just as well go to Rome or to Naples.
Yes.
It is all pointless, because in any case I don't think you could, unless you were to go to Milan or something like that, if you were to go to Milan, I think you might just as well go to Rome or to Naples.
Possibly.
Anyway, we shall see, but I would not be surprised if you fly. Anyway, it is good for you to go. I'm very happy that you are going with Bruno. And I think it will be good for him to go home and see his people. I think it will psychologically be very good, apart from anything else.
Well, I felt that when I agreed to go.
What shall we talk about in particular today? Huh? Have you anything particular that you wish to speak about? Huh?
I don't think so, Rudy. I clearly take to an awful lot of people, as you know, and I think that very often they ask things.
But Marie Elliott, she...
I can't make any headway with her.
You know, I know. I don't think that you can. After all, a woman of her age and her background, she is rigid, and it is amazing that perhaps as much progress has been made as we have made. I don't think that we can anticipate that she can be expected to completely change. I don't think we should anticipate, nor expect, nor in a way perhaps even desire it. Let her remain as she is. There's much good in her. There is a great deal that one has respect and admiration for. She is a remarkable old lady. She probably would not like to be considered an old lady, but she is. And she is a good soul. And she has this truth within herself. She may still cling to her church, and that is good for her, no doubt. But she listens to the tapes, and if she doesn't always assimilate or understand everything, it is good. I don't worry about her. She is a very good person. And I'm glad that you have become friends. You have broken the ice. You have broken the barrier that stood between her and the guilt. And, you are all one, really. It is just that you have different titles, and perhaps some have different outlook and approach. she's all right. I don't know why you worry.
Well, I did rather worry the last time I was there on Wednesday night, and when I came away I felt that really I didn't seem to be making any effort to play your tapes. Now I have played every one of your tapes.
Did you take the tape recorder?
No, not. She heard all of your tapes, you know. But I felt that once again you said, did she discuss the matter at all? And she never does. And I didn't know whether to approach her about it or whether to just leave her.
I think she accepts, of course, and she has had some experience in the past, that she has a deep-rooted faith, and there's nothing to worry about concerning her. When she comes here, she will be very happy, much happier perhaps than she has been for many years.
Yeah. Well, they had a poster in the window for some Catholic saint.
Yes.
And I thought then that perhaps she doesn't really like those tapes being played in case anyone overhears. You see, it might have put her in rather a difficult position. Catholics are rather funny people, you know, in some respects. So I thought that if ever I play any more tapes, though, which of course I shall do,
she came to my home
to play them.
You managed to obtain something belonging to me after all.
Yes, I did.
With permission or without?
With permission. Oh, I had it given to me.
Ah, all right. I wonder if she will give you a scarf or something.
Well, I don't know. I believe she will. I feel within myself that she may do. You see, so many things have gone to Ireland, and I think that this is about the only thing that she has left, which is very beautiful.
Oh, but she has this shut.
What? Oh, she has the shirt.
Yes, she has the
right.
Scarf.
You've seen the container that it is in, have you?
Yes, very beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Really, you know, it makes me feel as if, you know, this is the extraordinary part of all this. She detests, or pretends to detest, or perhaps shall we say she thinks that she detests what she calls hero worship. And all that sort of thing, and yet she has a special casket made to keep my shirt in and other odds and pieces. That is the most strange mentality, that she cannot realize that she is my biggest fan.
Yes.
She does not like the word fan, but she is far more of a fan than many people that she despises or pretends to despise. This is something which is, of course, in a way understandable, but you know, people are extraordinary. People who condemn things most are often the worst culprits. I am very glad that she has my scarf and other things, and I'm glad that she has a beautiful box to protect me in, but she is much more of a fanatic than she realizes. She is much more than what she accuses others of being.
Well, don't you think it's rather an escapism? She's afraid of public opinion more than anything.
Of course, I know.
Within herself, I've always felt, there's quite a lot of people, they pretend that they couldn't care less, but really they do, deep within themselves. It's just an a crust, it's a barrier that they hide behind.
She will.
She does.
I think she is afraid to admit to herself the truth. Of course, she is in love with me, like perhaps so many others, and I appreciate that love. I mean, I want it to be turned into something that is, and in a way she did turn that love for me into something very worthwhile, for she do, with the help of others, a great deal of good for others. This was wonderful, but at the same time she must, and I think she does realize with herself, that she is in a sense as much a fanatic as anyone is. It is in a way rather amusing. I'm very sympathetic towards her, very sympathetic towards her. I like her very much, and I appreciate very much everything that she feels and what she has accomplished and what she tries to do in a limited way now. As soon as I appreciate everything that people do, because if they do good, it does not in a way matter if it is because of me, but it is nice to feel that one has been, in a sense, partly responsible for good that is done. I appreciate that very much. And it is also a happiness for me to know that people still enjoy to see my films. I myself, in a sense, of course, I'm not interested. They were means to an end.
in a way they were able to draw many people towards thinking perhaps differently, in spite of the fact that the association has no members and the guild has a few members, doesn't alter the fact that the influence that I brought to bear, unconsciously perhaps, was still brought to bear, still has a meaning, and that it's still affecting thousands of people, and that it has helped them in various ways, not only to give them momentarily a glimpse of romance or some personal pleasure or happiness, but because of that I think that many have sought truth and have changed accordingly. Many people, because of their knowledge of my interest in psychic things, discovered for themselves. I think that, I feel happy because I feel that in some measure I was able to help others and achieve things through others, whether it is the guild or whether it is the association or whether it is individuals here and there who are not interested perhaps or know nothing of the guild or the association. It is that one feels that one has accomplished something, one has achieved something, one has helped people, and if one has taken away sadness and depression to some extent and given people an insight into truth, that is the most important thing. I'm very happy. I don't mind if people goggle-eye at me and they get excited still. In a way it is rather nice. I'm still human enough to perhaps feel a little flattered, but I know that in their hearts they are kind and good, and if they love, then their love is such that it will spread to others. They will share it with others. It is not selfish. It is only when love is selfish that it is bad. But love, when it is shared, when it is given out, when it is for all, when it is as it is with so many people that I know, it is a good love, it is a good thing. And if I can inspire that kind of love, then I am very happy. In a way, it is a wonderful thing for me to feel that so many people could love me and yet never have met me. Perhaps it is, of course, in a sense, only about my image, and I don't know the real person. But those of you who have learned a little more about the real person and understand how I feel about all this, that I'm grateful, and I'm grateful to feel that I have been the instrument of so much love, that I have been the instrument in a strange way to help many. That is my main task, my main desire, to help, to be of service, and to bring people together, no matter what their nationality or no matter what country, anything, it is that they are one people. It is long past the time when people should think about patriotism. Patriotism in a sense, yes, I do agree. But when it is, as it has been in the past, the breeding ground of untold misery, then that is a bad thing. What we must think about is worldwide brotherhood of man, peace among peoples and love spreading throughout the world. Oh, we are so ambitious this side, but we must be patient. I am very happy to come and talk with you. The other day I speak with Lynette. Her approach, her idea perhaps is rather different in some respects, but everyone must find their own path and tread it accordingly. She does in her own way what she can. She is in many ways a good sort. It is very happy for me to speak with her, as it is happy for me to speak with you. And of course I would very much like to speak to Murray, if she could be persuaded to come, but only if she wanted to come. But it is no good trying to force these things. They must come from the individual. They must show the desire for it. She will learn, even yet, more. But there is nothing to worry about. I must go. But all my love and a big hug and kiss for you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir. Arrivederci.
Very nice this morning.
Yes,
but a really good chat. Did you notice what he said? Although she has no members and the guild has only a few.
Yeah,
I'm not crowing about that or anything like that, but I couldn't help noticing the way he put that.
Well, he answered something, you see, it was speaking about.
Mm-hmm.